His arms are open wide. This is WCNO Palm City, the good news station.
Welcome to A Biblical Response. In this hour, we invite you to take a journey with us to the heart of some of the hot-button issues of our day. What is behind these issues? How are Christians supposed to respond to them? Hebrews 4:12 says, "For the word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the division of soul and of spirit, of joints and of marrow, and discerning the thoughts and intentions of the heart." So join us now as we bring God's word to bear on the narratives and the news that threaten our peace and cast darkness on our land.
And welcome to A Biblical Response. And we hope that you're able to stay with us for the whole hour. Every time we've done this program, it's really been some cool stuff God has got us to talk about.
Amen.
And give us the scriptures, and today is no different. And we have a special guest whom Ann is going to introduce in just a moment, who's on the phone with us. But I'm going to start by welcoming Keith Masters, our street preacher. Yeah, you. Sorry.
You
should go the other way around.
Yeah, I know. Well, I like to turn things up a little bit, but... Keith, welcome. Thanks again for being with us.
Oh, good morning. It's an honor to be here.
It's an honor.
It's a great gift.
And Stephanie Jacobson?
Yes.
Welcome.
I've just got back from Washington. I'm ready to set in here and listen to this conversation. It should be really good.
I know it's going to be really good. And listen, folks, I will say if you're sitting down, if you have a seatbelt on your chair, you might buckle that puppy up a little bit. But we're going to go into some necessary stuff today.
Yes.
And Ann Limhoko, Ann is our journalist.
Yes, good morning.
Has DNA, journalism DNA, and loves to communicate the truth.
Praise God. He gives us all skills, and we use them for his glory.
We do. And that's amazing. Before you introduce Aaron, I just have to tell our listeners, I've been so impressed with what God has done with this team. Mm-hmm. We have, now we've known all of you before, in different venues, and you've come here and been on the air with us. But in forming this program, and the Spirit of God led Jonathan and myself as we were in our little gathering, sharing this vision to pull your names together to be a part of this. And it's really is a godly thing. And I really thank you for working with me on this.
It seems like an unlikely group. We love each other.
Yeah. We are.
We never met really before. We'd seen each other and never really talked. But man, it has been such a pleasure and honor to just sit at the table with all of you.
I'm honored.
And we bring different skill sets. You know
you
what
do.
I mean?
Yeah.
So then we all work together with our different skill sets, and it flows good. Like a good organism.
It absolutely does.
So
Ann, go ahead if you would and introduce our. Guest for the
Should
day?
I talk about the topic first that we're going to
yeah,
be
go ahead and tell,
engaging,
yeah, topic,
and then
topic,
that
sure.
will lead to introducing our esteemed guests.
Why don't you do that?
Yeah, so what we're going to be speaking about today, and thank the Lord for always giving us what we want to say on the air, because we seek him. This is his show.
Amen.
So what happened yesterday was the Florida legislature adjourned a special session, and that was something that our governor had called. A special session to address the list of proposed legislative actions. Mm-hmm. And these actions were all in pursuant of topics of combating illegal immigration and strengthening the citizens' initiative petition process. So this happened yesterday at the start of the special session that came and convened. But then what happened was, just to give some feedback, because I don't know if all our listeners know this, but usually session starts, and we're in an off year, 2025 odd year, they start in March. Mm-hmm. So what Governor DeSantis did back in the middle of January was ask the legislature to come back early, because he said that the topic of illegal immigration, which he calls a crisis, could not wait until the March session. So what he did was he called our legislatures back early. And when the legislature met yesterday, they then quickly dismissed the special session and convened their own session to address illegal immigration. And they cited disagreements with aspects of the governor's proposal, because he had put out a proposal back in January of the different things he wanted to cover. And it was very specific as pertained to combating illegal immigration. And then he also spoke on a bunch of other topics, like the citizens citizenship petition process. I'm sorry, that's so hard for me to say, and other things. But then the legislature came back, and what they did was they dismissed that session. They reconvened their own session, and they introduced what is called their own bill, what is called the Trump Act. So speaking of that, that leads to introducing our esteemed guest today. And who we have joining us from the phone is Aaron DiPietro, and his official title is a legislative affairs director for Florida Family Voice. And we have invited him, and I'm so grateful to God that he was able to join us today from Orlando to get his take on what happened at this special session yesterday. And they are continuing today. I understand that they convened today at 10:30 as well.
Okay.
And we want to hear from Aaron. And for those who don't know, Florida Family Voice is based in Orlando. It's a nonprofit organization associated with Focus on the Family. And its primary purpose is to educate. The Florida Family Voice is committed to using solid research, sound arguments, and articulate presentations to make a case for pro-life, pro-family values in the public sphere. It's an organization that I encountered shortly after I moved here from Chicago about 2.5 years ago, and I'm like, wow. And so Aaron is joining us by phone, and Aaron, welcome.
Thank you so much, and David, Keith, and Stephanie, it's exciting to be here. Thank you for having me.
How are you doing?
Doing well. It's it's a little bit. It's. I'm glad that Florida weather is starting to come back.
Amen.
After the last 2 weeks or so, it's been a little crazy. So
yeah. So Aaron, I just want to thank you again for joining us. I want to start by asking, for our listeners who may not know about Florida Family Voice, can you speak to that organization, the nonprofit, and you know, your mission and values, core values?
Yeah.
And I believe that you guys were called Florida Family Policy Council, and that there's a new change in the name. If you could also talk about that as well.
Yeah, absolutely. So a little bit of historical background on the Family Policy Council movement. So it goes back to the 1980s and the 1990s. Dr. James Dobson, with Focus on the Family, really had a heart for engaging in the political arena. He helped found a lot of the, you know, organizations on the national level, like Family Research Council. You know, he was involved in the Christian Coalition and a lot of the other groups that were founded, targeting policy to defend the family and biblical values on the national level. And Dr. Dobson really developed a vision for that on the local level, that change was really needed, that on the state level, that there needed to be focus heavily on state legislatures, because those were, in his perspective, that was going to be the bulwark of defending the family values, that Washington was really just getting too bloated, too big. It was just, it was not the place, the primary place that we should be engaging in defending the family, defending biblical values. And so thus he started the Family Policy Council movement in the late 80s, early 90s, that now has extended to 38 states across the nation, of which Florida Family Voice is one of those organizations. Formally, as you mentioned, Ann, we were formerly the Florida Family Policy Council. We are going into a little over 20 years of existence here, defending pro-life, pro-family values here on the state level. And we've also made somewhat of a shift as well recently, to whereas previously we were more of a social conservative public policy advocacy organization, which we still are engaging in that sphere, but we have transitioned to being more of a biblical worldview education organization that also does policy advocacy as well, but up under the banner of a biblical worldview, because that's at the heart, as I was sharing, we were talking about before the show, that's at the heart of our organization, is engaging with a biblical worldview to change our culture. Because trust me, politics can be a very wild and crazy and crazy world.
Yes.
If I were not grounded in the hope of Jesus Christ, politics could be a very depressing and very discouraging field, because, you know, there's unfortunately human nature, you know, is quite is present in, just as it is in every other sphere of life. And that's, you know, really being grounded in that biblical truth and biblical worldview, in advancing, you know, issues such as you know, life, the sanctity of human life, parental rights, religious freedom, medical freedom, freedom of speech, school choice, are some of the huge issues that we've been very passionate about and seeing groundbreaking legislative victories. So that's kind of in my lane, is the legislative victory side. I've been with the organization for a number of years, and we've seen incredible victories, whether it's the Heartbeat Protection Act, Amen. Protecting the sanctity of human life, Amen. The parental rights and education bills, pushing parental rights and empowering parents to be able to stand up and, you know, protect their children from some of the craziness that's been going on in our public school systems, the School Choice Act from a few years back, which has made Florida the leader in school choice and educational freedom in the nation. So I'm really excited about that. So that's one lane. Another lane that we do in our organization is our the Church Ambassador Network. We realize at Florida Family Voice that according to God's word, God's plan A is not politicians. God's plan A is mm-hmm. not conservative organizations. God's yep. plan A is the Church of
Amen.
Jesus Christ.
Yes. Amen.
And there is no
Foundation.
Plan B.
Nope.
There is no plan B. So we realize that it is so critical to engage the Church of Jesus Christ through multiple programs. We have our REACH program. We have our Florida Capital Project. I would definitely recommend floridacapitalproject.org for people who want to learn more about that incredible program where we connect the ministers of God in the pulpits
Amen.
With the ministers of God in civic government. We bring them both to the gate. We connect them for prayer, for partnership, for ministry connection. It's an incredible opportunity. I would definitely recommend anyone who's listening to, you know, if you have your pastor or if you are a pastor, to reach out to our team, the Church Ambassador Network team at Florida Family Voice. It is a life-changing program where we've seen so many pastors cross the bridge into civic engagement. And the reality is it's not politics. It is a civic mission field. That's Amen. Really what we have to connect our pastors and ministry leaders to. So we're extremely excited about that. We have youth scholarship programs to where we engage with the next generation through our Patriot Academy programs, through our Summit Ministries programs, through our Teen Pack programs, empowering the next generation to be educated in a biblical worldview and how to engage in the civic arena with boldness and with truth. So we're extremely excited. There's so many others. And one thing I'll mention before we move on to talking about the special session, one program that's specific that is coming up in Tallahassee during legislative session mm-hmm. is our first ever Voice Conference at the Capitol. Mm-hmm. It formerly was known as Pro Family Days. It's now the Voice Conference at mm-hmm. the Capitol, where we're bringing dynamic speakers and leaders from across the state. We're going to be engaging individuals with biblical tools to be able to make a difference in today's culture. We're going to be having biblical worldview education training. We're going to be talking about the legislative agendas that, you know, we're seeking to tackle at the Capitol. We're going to be bringing together, you know, pastors and civic leaders to encourage, exhort, and challenge the individuals that attend to build a biblical worldview and engage the culture with boldness and with grace as well. So we're excited. That's March 10th and 11th. Tickets are now available at flfamily.org. They're very affordable. It is a life-changing experience, and I would definitely mm-hmm. recommend people to be able to sign up for the Voice Conference as well. So that is, I'll move on. I'll let you go and move on to the next question.
Okay.
Dealing with the special session issues.
Great. And Aaron, before we do that, we're going to take a little break.
Okay.
And we'll be back Perfect. In about a minute and 12 seconds, maybe. Who knows?
All right.
I'm Mindy Molina, Investment Advisor Rep, Licensed Insurance Agent, and Fiduciary. From protecting your investments to not overpaying in taxes, financial concerns make up a long list of topics, and I can't wait to cover them all. I'll have expert guests, including CPAs and estate attorneys, and bring you insight you can benefit from. Listen in to The Mindy Molina Show every Wednesday afternoon from 4 to 5 p.m. right here on WCNO 89.9 FM.
Do you know what happens every Wednesday at 11 a.m. on WCNO Christian Radio? News and views to edify the body of Christ. Exciting authors, pastors, teachers, folks invested in richly blessed ministries where the church meets the world. God is doing things you want to hear about. That's Wednesday Live, airing every Wednesday at 11 a.m. on WCNO 89.9 FM.
Well, welcome back. And before we get back to Aaron, Stephanie had a comment.
Hey, Aaron, it's really nice to talk to you, buddy. I've been up to your Florida family.
Yes.
Yeah, I didn't know if you recognized me or not.
I did, yes.
Well, I just want to tell the listeners that if they could possibly get up there on the 10th and the 11th, that is such an exciting thing to be a part of. I don't know that you know this, but this year I'm going to try to bring up 10 to 30. That's my
big
average year. Yeah. 10 to 30 post abortive women, and we're going to try to canvass the Capitol this year to the legislators individually. And that is something that happens when on those Florida family days, that it's exciting to walk into their offices and be able to speak to the authority in that Capitol building, mm-hmm. and be able to speak about the things that are on our hearts individually, and they listen. Amen. It's one of the things that when I first came down here 4 years ago, it changed my life coming up there. So I was very encouraged by what you guys did and the stand that you take and that you offer people to come in and get the training and the individual speaking that they need to in front of their own legislators. So I would encourage the listening audience to definitely take a part of that. Go to flfamily.org and sign up for that, and just come and enjoy the fellowship also.
Yes.
Yeah.
Amen.
That website, flfamily.org, is a wonderful website. So it talks about the Florida Family Days and all the other things that Aaron had spoken about. So please go to flfamily.org, and it's an extensive website. Mm-hmm. And yeah, so.
And I would say especially that while we're doing this broadcast and you're hearing about Florida Family Voice, and you now have the website, which was, again, what is it?
flfamily.org.
God may be very well speaking to you right now.
Yeah.
This may be the first time. Or maybe it's not the first time, and he's ramping up the volume of putting a call in your life to get involved.
Amen.
In however he wants you to get involved. And this one organization is a tremendous way of bringing Christ right into the heart of the issue, right into the heart of the culture.
The civic mission field, as he called it. Right?
Yeah, I love exactly, that. Yeah. Exactly
that is,
right.
Yeah. So, Aaron, what is your title again at Florida Family Voice, if you could let our audience know?
I serve as the Legislative Affairs Director for Florida Family.
Yeah. So what does that mean?
It is a fancy name. I prefer it over the term lobbyist. Lobbyist is the technical title.
Yeah, there you go.
That has a bad connotation on it, doesn't it?
Does, yeah.
legislative affairs sounds much more professional and less dirty. But believe it or not, there are actually good Christian lobbyists.
Yeah, there are.
I've been one of them. So, but no, I get to engage with our legislators on policy. I get to, you know, testify in committee on our bills. I get to help write legislation, provide recommendations on amendments. I get to work with our partners in communicating with our base. I would encourage another thing, too, as a resource, sign up on our website, flfamily.org, for our newsletters as well. During session, I provide an insider's report that goes out weekly, providing updates on the bills that are moving through, the ministry work that's being done. Also, Pastor Kevin Baird, who's the head of our Church Ambassador Network, he has an ambassador's update as well. We put our reports together that go out each week, that you can be able to see what God is doing in Tallahassee each and every week, what things to pray for, what things to maybe be able to, you know, reach out to your legislators on. It is a great tool and a resource that I would highly recommend.
Yeah,
and
I read all those emails.
Thank you for your testimony, Stephanie. That was such a blessing to hear that from you as well. So thank you,
Aaron, when I came up there when I first came up there, I'm from Missouri, so I've been to the Capitol in Missouri, and one of the feelings that I had when I stepped into the Capitol in Florida, there was a totally different feel. And I, of course, looked at DeSantis as being, you know, a huge part of that. But then as I was listening to the different speakers and people, the different panels that you guys brought together, I realized that there was a support system down here in Florida that we don't have in Missouri. And I believe that it came from Florida Family Voice. As I've been more activated and more active with you guys, I've seen what you've done out in the field. It's not just in the Capitol. Mm-hmm. You're working behind the scenes, and that's what's important. The grassroots is really where this happens.
Yeah.
Yes, the Capitol is important, and you guys are right up there in the middle of it. But you also engage with the grassroots, and that's what made an impact on me. So thank you so much for doing that.
Mm. No, thank you.
We are blessed to have Florida Family Voice because I'm from Illinois.
Yes, of course.
So when I've been up to Springfield, Illinois, the capital, I did not feel what I felt when I've been to Tallahassee.
Amen. Mm.
So we are blessed, and it's so interesting how the Lord called us to move to the state, you know, during similar times.
Yes.
But so, Aaron, we wanted to get your take as an expert, since you're always in Tallahassee during the legislative sessions. I know you're not there for the special session, but can I get your take on what happened yesterday, if you don't mind? And why do you believe there was that pushback from the Senate and House leader? And and moving forward, what happens today? So it's a loaded question, so sorry to give it to you all at one time.
And I'll just say as well, there's still a lot of unknowns. I'll try to give a kind of a 10,000-foot view of what has happened. I'm hesitant to talk about motives or intents because, only God sees the heart on that front. But I'll try to give the best analysis that I can, at least from the 10,000-foot view level. So Governor Ron DeSantis several weeks back saw the issue of illegal immigration as an issue that he wanted to address significantly before the regular session begins the first week of March. And so he called the legislature in to have a special session this week. The 27th through the 31st, to address the issues of immigration and I'll touch on the immigration issue a little bit, and then I'll talk about the second petition initiative reform proposals that Governor DeSantis put forward. But anyway, he put this package together, put a proposal out, and called the legislature back into session. What it ended up happening, and again, I'll give the reasons. I'm still reserving my opinion, and because I'm still trying to find out more facts and more data, and I don't want to, I'm not going to criticize or attack anyone unnecessarily without all the facts.
Yes.
But and basically, what happened is this week on Monday, or actually several weeks back, there was pushback from the Senate President Ben Albritton and House Speaker Danny Perez, both duly elected representatives in the state house. They put together a statement saying that they disagreed with the governor needing to call a special session, and that these issues could be addressed in regular session. So now under the Constitution, the governor has the right to call a special session, and so they had to come together for a special session this week. What happened, though, is there was uncertainty as to what that would look like. There is a provision, there's an allowance under the state constitution. If the leadership of the House and Senate choose not to, they can all come together to meet the criteria of coming together for the governor's call for special session, but then they can immediately gavel in and gavel out. Basically, if they, for some reason, have a disagreement with the governor, which is exactly what Speaker Perez and Senate President Albritton did. It was a very sharp attack against the governor and his call for special session. What happened, though, is, I guess, to avoid criticism, because there was a lot of division within the grassroots, Republicans, and even I would say establishment Republicans. There's a lot of faction infighting that was going on behind the scenes, and there was a lot of personality clashes. And jurisdictional clashes as well behind it. I won't go into the details on that because I'm still trying to figure out the details myself. But needless to say, it came to a head. They shut down the special session, but came and called a special session of their own out of the blue that day and introduced one bill. So Governor DeSantis and his allies in the legislature had introduced a lineup of about six to seven bills. They shut all those bills down and basically introduced one bill on immigration. They decided to push off the petition initiative reform, which I'll talk about in just a minute, to regular session, and they pushed off most of the immigration reforms to regular session. Go ahead.
No, it's okay.
Oh, no, nobody was interrupting. Sorry, Aaron, go ahead.
So Speaker Perez and Senate President Albritton stated in their public statements and their speeches, they made the announcement that one of the reasons that they were shutting down the governor's special session they did not mention, there were some ideological differences in their proposals, but the bulk of their opposition was that they made public statements that they felt like the governor had bullied them into coming in and was not willing to communicate with them and work out a legislative agreement. The governor responded in turn saying that he felt like they were watering down his legislation and compromising on the issue. And that's gone back and forth over the past few days. I'm not going to make final judgments on that at this time, especially on the immigration issue, since that's kind of outside of my specialty area. Mm-hmm. But nonetheless, the Speaker Perez and Senate President Albritton introduced their own legislation called the Trump Act. Some of the differences, and I'll go over this very briefly, Governor DeSantis had put in proposals to and potential penalties on local law enforcement who refused to cooperate with the Trump's ICE program and the deportation of illegal immigrants. So basically, you've had in different parts of the nation, a little bit in Florida, but specifically in other, you know, more liberal-leaning cities, some of the like Chicago and Detroit coming out and saying, hey, we're not going to cooperate. Our law enforcement officers, our police officers are not going to cooperate mm-hmm. with the Trump administration, the Department of Justice, and the offices for Immigration and Customs Enforcement. Governor DeSantis had wanted to put penalties in place to say if, you know, local law enforcement sheriffs or police chiefs refused to cooperate, that there would be penalties involved. The Trump Act, the Speaker Perez's and Senate President Albritton's proposal, removed any penalties on law enforcement for choosing not to cooperate with the Trump administration. There was also, Governor DeSantis wanted to establish a state crime for entering the U.S. illegally in a process for self-deportation. There was some efforts on the in the Perez-Albritton bill mm-hmm. to remove some of those provisions and also to transfer the enforcement of immigration policies on the state level from the governor to the Agricultural Commissioner, who is currently Wilson Simpson, mm-hmm. A former Senate president, and who's very connected and allied with current Senate leadership and such. So mm-hmm. there's a few other differences that I'll get into, that I could get into. I probably won't at this point, but I would definitely recommend people who just want to look up. There's some graphics that are being put out sharing some of the differences, I believe, both by Senate and House leadership and also Governor DeSantis that he's put out. Sharing the differences of proposals on that. So that there are some differences. There have been reports that some of the differences that were not addressed in the Perez-Albritton bill will be brought back. The ones that Governor DeSantis wanted to address will be brought up during regular session. And then there was some of the proposals that they said they did not want to address or deal with, period, at this point. So that's kind of the different, that's kind of the differences on a 10,000 foot level there. Mm. Regarding the immigration reform.
That's a lot.
I was trying to follow all that, and I hope our audience was able to follow all that. But there's also information, like the President Albritton and Speaker Perez put out a statement, a joint press release that we can get online, mm-hmm. and we want to let our listeners know. So, mm-hmm. yeah we're going to go to a break in about a minute. And then I think after the break, let's go talk about the citizen petition process, which I think is crucial for our listeners mm-hmm. because that's how Amendment 3 and 4 was able to get on the ballot, you know? And that was
exactly,
something that we do not want to happen again.
let's just go ahead and go to the break, and we'll be right back.
Revival's in the air. The kingdom of God is here. This is Luann Linneken, the host of Kingdom Recovery. I invite you to join me every Friday at 5 p.m. right here on WCNO 89.9 FM. Kingdom Recovery is a live, cutting-edge program where I will be talking about God's saving, healing, and delivering power. Don't miss it. Revival's in the air.
Every Monday, we will bring you stories from the front line of ministry, ordinary people doing extraordinary things for God. We will redefine where the front line is, from risky missions to comfortable caring, always with the invitation for you, the listener, to look for the front line in your life. Tune in to 89.9 FM every Monday at 11 a.m. Get on the front line.
Welcome back. First of all, Aaron, just thanks again for being with us today. Really appreciate your input.
Yeah, no, my pleasure.
And that's I'm going to probably mispronounce your name. Aaron DiPietro. Is that?
That is correct.
Woo.
That is correct.
I try to put a little flourish in that, too. Right, because I have a French name, Francoeur, and no one rolls their R's, so I have to do the anglicized version. But and Aaron is with Florida Family Voice. And it's a tremendous, God-blessed organization that's been around for about over 20 years, right?
Yes, sir. Mm-hmm.
And bringing the biblical worldview into the political arena. We've been talking about immigration. That was one of the big issues that the legislature ended up, and will end up dealing with all over the nation, not just in the state.
Mm-hmm.
But in talking about the biblical worldview, we kind of go to a broader view of law, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay,
mm-hmm.
We're a nation of laws.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Rule of law is important to us. Where does that come from? Well, the Judeo-Christian roots mm-hmm. That go back, really, talk about America and the formulation of America. God, and I know there's some people listening say, I don't know about God creating America. Well, I'm going to tell you, God did that because you can see his hand in the lives of the
Absolutely.
Founders, and in the things that they wrote, in the things that they said, and in the things that they did. So the rule of law, as it is embedded in national law and every state law, the root of that is Judeo-Christian. It comes from how we are to respond to God, who is not just the creator of, I'm going to call it holy law because it comes from God, essential legal structures and foundations are biblical. And so as a nation, the Constitution really has biblical mm-hmm. underpinnings. It is infused with biblical DNA.
Yes. You know, if you go back to the Old Testament and the Israelites, let's go back a few years, and they were a nation of their own. God gave them specifics, and it didn't really pertain mm-hmm. to the other nations. This was a nation of God. And, you know, there are nations that are sovereign. We're a sovereign nation. We aren't, according to other nations, we have our own sovereignty, right?
Mm-hmm.
So that's how it was. And there were others. There were Egyptians that came in and walked with the Israelites and assimilated in. But that's the truth. They assimilated into what the Israelites were doing. Now, they weren't all, you know, circumcised, but as a whole, when they came in, they became part of that nation as far as what that nation did and how their laws were and what governed them. That is what this nation, I mean, I don't know that there's a nation out there that doesn't have their laws and, mm-hmm. you know, mm-hmm. just allows anybody to come in. So, you know, we think of people coming in, immigrants coming in, and we think of individuals. But then there are nations out there that want to destroy America.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we know that the enemy doesn't like us because we were built on biblical principle and mm-hmm. the foundation.
And we're a light to the nations.
Yes, yep. Yes, we are a light to the nations. And so, you know, but God talks about the fact that it's kind of like the oxygen thing. You got to put on your own oxygen mask before you can help others. You know, that's a very simplistic way of looking at it. But it is built on godly principles. And I think, Keith, you've even talked about Ruth and assimilating into, you know,
into the Jewish nation.
Right.
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 Right. Her husband, you know, one of the wives that lost their husband, they went back to their own homeland.
Right. Yeah, they did.
And then Ruth decided to stay with.
But what did she do?
What did she do?
Said,
she said, your God will be my God. Your people will be my people. And your laws will be my laws.
I will go where you go. I will lodge where you lodge. Your people shall be my people. And your God, my God. Where you die, I will die, and there will I be buried. May the Lord do so to me, and more also, if anything but death parts me from you. You know, and that's, and what did Naomi do? She welcomed her in.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's right.
And that is the true.
That's right.
That is the true Christian way of doing things. It's not that we don't want people to come in, but there are laws.
And no, to enter legally.
Right. Where is that heart? Where is Ruth's heart? Ruth's heart is in humility. Mm-hmm. That's where Ruth's heart is. It's in humility. Right. Right? Mm-hmm. She gave herself to the nation that she was going to be a part of. Mm-hmm. She didn't want to bring her country into their land and try and change their land into her ways of where she was born.
You know, the hard part of where we are right now, though, is we are in the midst of chaos because the last few years have been nothing but chaos. And so, you know, it's President Trump's coming in and trying to clean out that chaos a little bit, and that's uncomfortable. Mm-hmm. And not just for immigrants. That's uncomfortable for all of us because we're all going to have to figure out, what is my responsibility in this? Self-governance first. And then, you know, there's going to be certain individuals that you talk to that maybe don't have, that are immigrants, that don't have legalized immigration.
Mm-hmm.
You still have to love them. That is not, that is not part of our talking here. We don't want to, you know, push them away, but the law of the land is different than what God has called me to do as far as individuals. Mm-hmm. You know, go ahead.
Well, I was just going to say, you're on the right, you're on a good track, okay. But I want to get back to Aaron.
Yeah. Yes.
But to say what we're looking at is we're a nation of laws. I believe God gave us the fundamentals of those laws that were invested in the writing of the Constitution, and then decades and decades and decades of interpreting the Constitution based on what I'm going to say are God's laws.
Mm-hmm.
And so that the issue, the big issue that we're looking at right now is illegal immigration, people coming here and being allowed to come here across our borders by a very lax government, very lax administration that allowed this and
encouraged it. Yeah.
And yet the laws still stand and the good reasons for those laws still stand.
Yes.
And now we're in a season of restoration.
Amen.
And this is what there's a lot of.
We've got to stop the bleeding.
We've got to stop the bleeding and encourage legal immigration.
Yes,
absolutely.
Yeah, we want people to come here, but we want our laws to be recognized and honored.
Yeah, the laws. I'm sorry, go ahead.
Anyway, I wanted to. I think this was. We need to get back to Aaron.
Yeah, Aaron, do you have any thoughts as we're discussing this view, through the lens of Scripture?
Yeah, no, absolutely. And just in terms of the immigration, I think you guys have covered a lot of it. Just, I think there is a recognition in Scripture that there is, God has created different jurisdictions. Mm-hmm. You know, there's the institution of the family, which is separate from the jurisdiction and the institution of the church.
Amen.
And the institution of government. Each one has different roles, and they should be careful to interfere with one another's lanes. Like, we don't want, like, individual families or individual churches going out to secure the border. That's not their role. That's the role of government.
Right. Mm-hmm.
The role of church is unique. The role of family. Like, again, if somebody's, you know, Christ has said if someone is hungry, we need to feed them. That doesn't mean necessarily we put them on the taxpayer dole and prop them up. That's the role of government. That's the role of government is to enforce the laws, is to do justice.
And
the
on
role
the other
of the church.
And yeah, on the other side of that is the government doesn't overstep their boundaries into what the church is doing.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah, Samuel Adams, at the age of 28, when he wrote on liberty, he did a summary on liberty.
Mm-hmm.
And the first sentence of that is, in the state of nature, every man has a right to think and act according to the dictates of his own mind. According to the dictates of his own mind, which in that state are subject to no other control and can be commanded by no other power than the laws and ordinances of the great creator. He's talking about God, of the great creator of all things.
There you go.
Yeah, right.
So the freedom. And, you know, one of the things that comes to mind is President Trump just reinstated all these military people that were left, mm-hmm. right, that had to be forced out.
Because they refused to have
a COVID vaccine. Mm-hmm. Right. So they lost their liberty in the first thing that they're talking about here, which Samuel Adams wrote about, mm-hmm. is that it dictate in their own mind. So now they're trying to force things upon each individual over here. And this is the chaos that was going on for the past 4 years.
Taking away
our freedoms.
Yes.
We praise God because, you know, we prayed for this president, for a rising of a president who will stand for biblical principles. And we as a church are praying for this president, mm-hmm. right?
Amen. Yes.
Because the church is huge. The Lord always had in mind the church, right? Mm-hmm. You talked about this, Aaron, in your introduction, but the church is to shine. And we have to do it mm-hmm. through the civic mission field as well. So Amen. It's encouraging to hear, you know, Aaron and people yes. such as himself who are working at organizations mm-hmm. that the Lord has brought up to make a difference, especially Amen. In this time. So,
Amen.
Yeah.
And I was just going to, I want you to continue, Aaron, but what you're doing and those that work with you and in other organizations like Florida Family Voice, what I see is the healing work of God through you all mm-hmm. bringing healing to a fractured nation
yeah.
that used to be, by and large, a nation that was connected, that the civic activities, you know, the mm-hmm. church was involved, mm-hmm. people, that all of American life was connected.
Yeah.
And the foundations, the foundation was God, the Word of God.
Yeah.
And it fed yeah. everything. And over time, we begin to see the disconnections, the damage.
Yeah.
And the result, the effect of that. But now, and this excites me, really it does, all the pieces that excites me, that what we're now talking about, what we actually see, we have a living representative here coming in over the phone, Aaron,
yeah.
of groups that God has empowered
mm-hmm.
to actually bring a healing to the essential foundations of America.
And he's
restoring us.
He's calling others such as himself who are Christians, who have inside of them, Amen. All of us like in the studio, yeah. we want to see the restoration and
Amen.
Reformation happening here in America, to join alongside him. So Aaron, why don't you speak about Christians getting involved in government? Mm. I'm yeah. sure you get that question all the time. How can they get involvement? How can they get involved? And what do you suggest to them when they ask you?
Yeah, well, first and foremost, I always say that it needs to be that we need to reevaluate the way that we have viewed politics and there's the old joke that, you know, the word politics is Latin for, you know, poly meaning many and tics meaning bloodsuckers. And I think that, tongue in cheek, I think that is how many individuals, including so many in the church, so many pastors, so many Christian leaders view politics. I mean, and to be honest, if when people think of politics, they think of, you know, Donald Trump and Joe Biden or Kamala Harris on a debate stage. And trust me, I get why people would be repulsed mm-hmm. if that's their view of mm-hmm. politics in the civic arena. Mm-hmm. But I think it's refocusing for people and for believers in particular that this is a civic mission field. Mm-hmm. These are the authority of Jesus Christ does not extend to every area of life, business, recreation, family, church, you know, education, but then politics is excluded. The Lordship of Jesus Christ extends over every area, Amen. Including public
Absolutely.
Policy, including government. And that's really the heart that we're going into it. Just recognizing and reframing that. That's one thing that we're very passionate about with the Church Ambassador Network and the Florida Capital Project at Florida Family Voice is reframing the terms, redefining the terms, reframing the language for pastors to understand this is a biblical mandate. This is a biblical mission field, you know, putting all the politics aside. We are a nonpartisan organization. We put the kingdom of God is the party to which we owe our allegiance to.
Amen.
And yes, at the end of the day, we may work with one party more than the other at the end of the day, but ultimately our allegiance is to the kingdom of God. That's number one. Number two, another passion that I have in terms of engaging the civic arena, is to let people think locally. Think locally.
Mm-hmm.
So many people, and our I call it the news entertainment industry, because mm-hmm. that's what a lot of these national news sites are, is they're more about building ratings and entertainment value. They always talk about Washington and the presidency and the Supreme Court and Congress, and those things are important. Don't get me wrong.
Mm-hmm.
But you and I, as average citizens, even me, with being heavily connected in the civic mission field arena,
mm-hmm.
I'm not going to be able to make much of a difference in D.C. That's mm-hmm. just a reality. That is a fact.
Mm-hmm.
I always joke that everybody needs Jesus, but Washington needs a double dose of Jesus.
Amen.
That's the reality. And our founding fathers developed a federalistic system of government to where mm-hmm. the states and local governments. We're supposed to, the closer you get to the people, the more power you're supposed to have, and the more the influence.
Yep.
And we've really gotten away from that, and the news media industry complex has really focused so much on Washington. My focus is, hey, focus on your local city council and school board. Yep. Like, you mm-hmm. can make such a difference going to those meetings, engaging in those, like, local races, engaging in your state house, and state senate races. That's where we can make the changes, and, so many of the changes is on the local level. And in the state level, as individuals, and that's where we can really get things done too. I mean, I, another joke that I often make is that sometimes the best thing I think we can expect out of Washington is gridlock. I mean, sometimes that's the best thing you can expect. Like, if they get together and they do something bipartisan, it usually is something very dangerous and bad.
Mm-hmm.
A good portion of the time. So, but focus local. When I hear people, and I'm not criticizing, the Lord leads people to do different things, but when I hear people, they decide one day they turn on the news and they're watching Fox News and they just are yelling at the TV and they're like, by golly, I'm just going to run for Congress without having any idea of what they're doing. And again, the Lord can call anybody to how he chooses to. So I'm not trying to dissuade anyone if the Lord has called them to it.
Mm-hmm.
But my question is, what about school board? What about city council? What about state house? What about some, county commission, local mm-hmm. races, to where you can be able to make so much more of a difference and have a, significant chance of winning? That's where we can make the difference. And that's what I really desire the body of Christ is to think locally, to think state rather than always thinking about national and Washington. Another thing that I'm very, very passionate about, and this is, something I'm speaking to myself as much as I am others on this,
mm-hmm.
is as Christians, we absolutely need to have a biblical worldview in how we engage, and we need to be standing on biblical truth and biblical principles. But so often I see so many Christians engaging in the political arena, speaking as Christians, standing as, or engaging on Christian principles, defending Christian values, and acting like heathens.
Yep. Yeah.
Mm. Acting like the world with vitriol and vindictiveness and anger. And I hear this often. Well, I have righteous indignation. I'm like Jesus overturning the tables in the temple.
Mm. No.
And part of me is like, first of all, you are not the incarnate Son of God.
That's right.
So you need to be careful when you start using that tagline to, justify flipping tables. And second of all, I see way much more of the wrath of man from Christians engaged in the civic arena than I see righteous indignation.
Aaron,
way more
the
wrath of
that
man.
That is the
and,
truth.
And scripture is so clear. James says, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, and slow to wrath.
To anger.
The wrath of
That's
man
right.
mm-hmm. does not Amen. Produce the righteousness of God.
Yep. You know what we do not see in that realm is joy.
Mm-hmm.
It's like we want to have this indignation against the evil, which we do. But mm-hmm. when we don't have the joy of Jesus, my story is that I've had 2 abortions. When I walk into mm-hmm. a room, mm-hmm. I have been forgiven much.
Yeah. Yes.
And because Amen. I have been forgiven much, I get to have the joy of the Lord, and I get to
Amen.
Speak with that joy, and I want to lead with that joy.
Mm-hmm.
And if more Christians would understand their own depravity and their own forgiveness, then mm-hmm. we go out into that realm and go, okay, I now can show the joy of the Lord. And guess what? People are encouraged by that. It isn't just about policy. Mm-hmm. It isn't just about love. It isn't just about, it's the joy of the Lord is our strength and mm-hmm. is our comfort and our guide. And we get to pass that on to other people. How much fun is that?
Yeah.
I mean, to have fun in the politics.
Clear. Yeah.
Go ahead, Aaron.
Sorry, Aaron.
Paul is very clear when we're talking about, The greatest of these is love.
Yes.
Like he says in 1 Corinthians 13, though mm-hmm. I speak with the tongues of men and angels and have not love, I have become a sounding brass or a clanging cymbal.
Yeah.
And I think I was talking with Ann previously about this.
Yesterday,
I see so many Christians
clanging
in the political
cymbals.
Arena with good hearts, good intentions, God bless them, but they are clanging cymbals. Yeah. They are so grating. They are so irritating. No one wants to listen to them because they are just full of vindictiveness, arrogance. You better do this or you're going to be damned to hell or something like that. Yeah. I'm like, no, that's not the spirit of Christ. That's not the spirit of love.
Mm-hmm.
And again, love, as we talked about earlier, love cannot be divorced from truth. You know, when we get off, you know, on track of that, speaking the truth in love, and we get into one either ditch of, you know, loving people too much or just speaking the truth, we can, you know, there's danger on both sides. But in the political arena, I see more of speaking the truth without love, which, again, makes you a clanging cymbal.
Yeah.
You're not going to be effective. No one's going to listen to you.
Yeah.
And God is not going to. God does not promise that He will honor a clanging cymbal. God can use anything. God can use a donkey to get His message across. So yes, He can definitely use a clanging cymbal. But there's no. God does not promise to bless clanging cymbals.
No.
So, by the way, we're not going to take a break, Aaron. We're going to run right to the end of the hour.
You know what, as we go, because we only have like 10 minutes left, and it's gone so fast. And I feel like we need to address that citizen petition initiative process, if you don't mind, Aaron. And I'm sorry to cut it off, but I believe that the points that you made have been so crucial about showing love when we do enter the civic mission field. But Aaron, can you just speak really quickly? This is one of the reforms that Governor DeSantis had suggested, but that was taken off the table, but is going to be back up in March during the regular session. Can you talk about the citizen petition initiative process really quickly and just some events that are going to be happening regarding that?
Yes, absolutely. So currently right now in the Florida state constitution, one of the ways that you can be able to put an amendment on the ballot for Florida voters to vote whether or not to add to our state constitution is the citizens initiative process, to where basically you have an organization, a political action committee that comes together, raises funds, and gets signatures. Basically, you may have seen the petition collectors outside your local Publix or Walmart that are approaching you to sign a petition about X, Y, or Z.
Mm-hmm.
For years, there's been a lot of reforms that have been put together on this process because, you know, we're living in a different time and a culture where the worldview has been shifting toward more of a secular humanistic worldview, and we've seen that shift in a lot of the ballot initiative processes as well. But in particular, specifically, I'll use two examples that you guys referenced from earlier. From last year, we had Amendment 3 and Amendment 4 that were on the ballot. Amendment 3 was legalizing a recreational marijuana amendment to our state constitution, which ironically was creating a semi-monopoly for a few mega pharmaceutical companies to control the recreational marijuana market.
Mm-hmm.
That was not necessarily advertised by the supporters of the amendment.
Mm-hmm.
That's why they raised several hundred million dollars from mega corporations. You don't have mega corporations pouring hundreds of millions of dollars into amendments to be charitable to the Florida voters. And then the second amendment, which I think was even more radical, was Amendment 4, which on the surface appeared to be more of a moderate compromise on the abortion issue, but in reality was legalizing abortion on demand until the moment of birth, funded by taxpayer dollars, removing medical doctors from the equation, and removing parents' rights from the equation as well. It was a radical initiative and amendment. Both, thankfully, thank God, were defeated, but both were quite narrowly defeated by about 3 to 5% for both of them. Florida is one of the few states that has a 60% threshold for passing a constitutional amendment rather than the normal 50% plus one. Governor DeSantis saw a lot of major issues and reforms that needed to be put forward. For instance, there was a lot of deception, specifically around Amendment 4, on the petition signing process. There was paid petition collectors that were going to pro-life rallies telling people at pro-life rallies, sign this petition for a pro-life initiative.
Yeah.
That were getting petition signatures there. They were lying about the cause of the amendment, or maybe they would say it's dealing with women's health or, for medical freedom or anything like that. So there was a lot of deception in the petition collecting process. There was also evidence, there was a former state Supreme Court Justice Alan Lawson represented a few plaintiffs that sued the petition collectors for actually evidence of fraud. They did an audit on several thousand petitions that were collected and that had been certified as being a part of the process, and around a third of them were found to be fraudulent, like completely fraudulent petitions not signed by the individuals that were purported to have signed them. So Governor DeSantis wanted to put forward a lot of reforms that Florida Family Voice completely supports.
Mm-hmm.
And even though they weren't picked up in the special session, we're optimistic that they will get picked up in regular session in one shape or form or another.
Mm-hmm.
But one example I used that really, as I dove into this, that I found fascinating that I don't think a lot of people realize. Really, Governor DeSantis wanted to treat the petition collecting process as sacred as the voting ballot.
Yeah, mm-hmm. That makes sense.
I used this example yesterday. Imagine that you're walking into Publix, and a guy approaches you with a clipboard and says, hey, do you have a minute to stop? I want to go over your ballot with you and your electoral ballot. So here's the president. Maybe you want to vote for this person because they believe in this. And, here's your vote for Senate. And don't worry about reading it all. Just, this probably is the best person to vote for here. And you can vote for this amendment here. And here's for school board and, this county commission race. And, go ahead and sign it at the bottom. Don't worry. I'll turn it in for you at the supervisor of elections office and I'll take care of it for you.
Wow.
We would all be aghast. Mm-hmm. If that were to ever happen, if just an average Joe were to approach us with a clipboard and say, "Hey, I'll help you fill out your ballot right here in front of Publix," and most of the people are like, "Okay, I'll just fill it out because I want you off my back. You're annoying me and you're irritating me. I just want to fill it out and get done with it."
Yeah,
but that is exactly what our current petition collecting process is. Mm-hmm. That we are basically just handing off the sacred right of petition collecting for an initiative that could alter our state constitution.
It's huge.
It should be an absolutely very high bar, something sacred that has all the safeguards and protections in place that we have on the voting ballot. Again, so these proposals that we support would basically turn the petition collecting process into something very similar to voting. So there would be two ways for a citizen. So any group or organization could still advocate to say, hey, people, you need to sign this petition, you need to do this. But instead of the paid petition collectors or the special interest groups being the ones to collect the petitions and hand them out, it would be the supervisor of elections office. The voter themselves would either go in person. It would be like voting. You'd either go in person to sign the petition and, to turn it in showing your voter ID, making sure that everything checks out, having your signature verification, or you could do like an absentee ballot. Request from the SOE's office, you would get the petition mailed to your house, you would fill it out, return it in, have signature verification and ID verification in that case. It would have so many additional protections.
So in essence,
and safeguards.
It takes something on the voter's part to do something. It's not just signing your name away, knowing what you're signing,
getting rid of the deception, and having more safeguards.
We've also seen. Part of that is a little worrisome because we've already seen what happens with mail-in ballots.
It's a step in the right direction.
It's a step in the right direction.
And we only have 4 minutes.
You have to personally request that.
We have less than 3 minutes. So, as much as I hate to bring this to a close, we sort of have to wrap it up. And
but I'm encouraged because the legislature will possibly take this up, and then things like Amendment 3 and 4 don't have to come back on the ballot.
Amen. Before we go, Aaron, and I want to thank you again for being a part of us. Aaron DiPietro with Florida Family Voice.
Thanks, Aaron.
Thank you,
situated Aaron. In Orlando, but
very informative.
Whose life really covers most of the state of Florida. And we thank you for your commitment to the Lord as you serve him in this way. Aaron, I want to do in the minute or so we have left is how can we pray for you? You personally, right now, what do you need us to pray for?
I would say just continued prayer for God's grace and strength. It can be, the world of politics can go from one day you feel like you're on the mountaintop, and the next day you feel like you're in the valley. Yeah. And that's just the nature, and it's the nature of the enemy to want to play off those emotions to either puff you up with pride or fill you with despair and depression.
Yeah.
And, by God's grace, I have a great group of people around me. We hold each other accountable. We're in the fight together. But always just pray for grace, for strength, for wisdom and discernment.
Amen.
Because again, it can be a very tricky world. You're working with a lot of great people, but you're working with people also that that are human beings, that are fallible human beings, and you want to have wisdom and discernment. So I would just pray for wisdom, discernment. Pray for my beautiful wife, Sophia, the love of my life,
family.
And a great support and an encouragement to me, and then also our little 7-month-old little baby girl, Laura Olivia. So
pray
for continued strength and the relationship with my wife and daughter,
yes,
and just for God's continued grace and discernment. for our organization. We've been going through a time of transition, name change, leadership change, and just, you know, that God's grace would be sufficient in our organization.
Absolutely. Amen.
Well, in the body of Christ, you're listening. You have your mission.
Yes.
Yeah.
You add Aaron and his family to your prayers, and we'll certainly do the same here, brother.
Thank you.
We just thank you. Thank God for pouring out the riches of his grace to call people like you to the front lines, because that's really what it's all about. But our time is up, so Aaron, I promised you, or maybe I threatened you, that you'd be back with us. We'll be in touch. Thanks again for joining us, and
God
thank
bless you,
listeners,
Aaron. Thank you so
for
much
for being with us. God bless.
And thank you. God bless.
Thank you for joining us. Tune in next Tuesday.